This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It is Dukes and Bell. Lots of stuff going on. We'll tell you about what's happening in the NFL real quick. There are very few personal vendettas that I have in my life because I refuse to live that way. But I will tell you this. I've had enough of Jonathan Vilma. And speaking of a personal vendetta, he has one against us. And when he calls these Falcon games, and D-Led just put this out there. Mike, I don't pay attention to who's calling the games, so I'll turn the game on, okay, to be honest with you. Seattle's at home. We'll be there. Great. But then I get home, and I watch the game, and I hear the bias by a guy like Jonathan Vilma, who
played for
the Saints for many years. So D-Led says, hey, it's going to be Kenny Albert. Fine. Jonathan Vilma, I'm like,
yeah.
And then, you know, who was the sideline reporter? Megan Olivi, I believe it is. Olivi. So she's going to be the sideline reporter. But I see Jonathan Vilma's name, Mike, and there's this thing that comes over me. And this hasn't just happened. I said to Mike, for 3 years, I've been very patient about, hey, I'll give him a chance. He's learning on the job. Every time he does our game, he takes shots. And you hear it in his voice, Mike. And I hate the fact that Fox continues to put him on our games.
This is what I'm saying. Shut up!
Let the hate flow through you.
No, I've been saying it for years, and I'm glad you're over here. And the Jonathan Vilma not saying get the guy fired, but saying just don't put him on Atlanta games, because to Carl's point, he just can't be objective. And before you go, you guys, bunch of homers, maybe somebody, I think so many of our audience, because they don't know what good color commentary sounds like, are maybe immune to just how awful this generation of color commentary is. We just heard Mark Sanchez last week. Tough.
Did you enjoy that?
No.
I didn't
just
either.
Tough. And look, it's we're living, and for guys, we lived in the, honestly, and this is one of those, yes, it truly was better. Play-by-play was better. The color commentary was better. And we just live in a world now where a lot of guys that are really good at it would have to just go play golf because they made enough money in the NFL. They don't have to do this. They don't have the genuine love for it. Yeah, we're at the ebb tide for play-by-play. But getting back to Vilma,
how about you
just do your job?
Yeah,
everything is anti-Falcon. Just don't mind him working for a living. Just don't call our freaking games. Find a way, Fox, to change that rotation.
Let me ask you this before we get to a blitz. Oversaturation? Is that why it's watered down now?
Yeah.
Understand this. There were very few opportunities, and you had to be really good to get one of these gigs. And now, Mike, you've got tons of outlets and ways that we visualize these games, right? Whether it be digital content, etc., there's just more outlets. Is that why you feel like it's watered down?
The guys that I really like, I think Greg Olson does a great job. I think I like Moose Johnson. Now, some would say it's basic, but it's okay. He's good. He's competent. I love Mark Schlereth. Schlereth's got a great personality. Schlereth makes me laugh, you know, because we have fun with him. Andy Randy have a lot of fun with him. He's on the show. Sanchez is tough. Bill, I'm going for the Fox crew right now.
Yeah.
CBS has got competent guys, but there's just some that just like, you're like, ugh, and it just makes you cringe when you're listening.
All right, with that said.
You narcissistic, selfish piece of garbage. Yeah,
that is
yes, John Vilma.
Yeah, that is how I feel about Jonathan Vilma. And you guys know this. A few weeks ago, I tweeted it out after a game. I couldn't take it. A buddy of mine called me literally and was like, "Are you listening to this?" I was like, "No, I'm watching the game at the game." He's like, "You got to hear this." And it was blatant. And, of course, it was the Saints game. It was the Saints game. So, with that said, just want to put it out there. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to get to when it comes to the NFL. Lots of news. Let's get to it with our NFL Blitz. Shut up! All right, couple of big trades today. Amari Cooper traded to the Bills. What? Yes. Browns have made the deal to trade Amari Cooper to the Bills. Then, on top of that, earlier today, we saw Davante Adams finally get traded from the Raiders to the Jets. And I was showing this to Mike, or at least talking to him about it. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show today. And McAfee's like, "Oh, hey, you know, when do you expect to see Davante Adams?" And Aaron Rodgers kind of looks behind him as he's on camera, and Davante Adams comes into the screen. And everybody's like, "Oh!" And I said to Mike, "Was he there last night?"
He might have had an inkling this was going down. I mean, you have to have the ability to basically be an X-Man and cover time and space, Carl, because otherwise than getting on a flight the night before. Yeah, good. I mean, look, good for McAfee. He's paying for those guests, and he got his money's worth with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. The game itself, and something which has got to be addressed, if you're going to call holding these penalties, I mean, you could basically turn a football, an NFL game, into a five-hour deal if you really wanted to. They've got a good formula, Carl. It's about 3 hours, 10. But last night was unwatchable.
Yeah,
the penalties were insane. Over 20 or 22 penalties when I fell asleep. The crazy moment of that game was the Hail Mary. How a defense could go and put two defenders and think you're going to let Aaron Rodgers do something he's done three times before, which is next to impossible. Fourth Hail Mary touchdown. Unbelievable play. Buffalo Bills asleep at the switch with eight DBs back there, Carl.
Yeah, it didn't save the game, but it saved the half for them because they felt like they had a shot. If they go down in at half, you know, down 10, I think it's a completely different game. But either way, the Bills find a way to get it done. Can I hear a couple of these Aaron Rodgers cuts talking about throwing his teammates under the bus, Mike? Because I think a lot of this has to do with, again, the blame game. No Saleh. You don't have Nathaniel Hackett to blame anymore. So I'm not going to point the finger at myself. I'm going to point the finger at my wide receivers. And Aaron also called out the officials. Listen a little bit of this.
Can you just talk a little bit about the penalties tonight?
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Some of them seemed really bad. Including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Yeah, man. Kinlaw got a 15-yarder for dropping an F-bomb on a referee last night. He was so frustrated by it. So, yeah, it was brutal. There's got to be a rhythm to a game. Now, we joked around yesterday about the Sunday performance where if you watch, Matthew Judon was getting held almost every time. But then all of a sudden, boom, they do throw the flag late in the game. The officiating could be so much better in the NFL. The NFL will tell you it's letter perfect, and they've done all the analysis, and it can't be any – it doesn't pass the eye test. And somebody in the New York office has got to say some things you've got to maybe keep the flag in your pocket because the game just becomes – at the end of the day, it's supposed to be entertainment. And I get it, Carl. Everybody's supposed to have a fair shake. Both teams should have a good job of refereeing. But last night, I defy someone to sit through that game last night.
It was tough. There's no doubt. Lots of penalties. The game seemed like it went on forever. Let me hear Rodgers about the Hail Mary before the half, how he described it. Everybody wants to talk about the perfect ball and all that. Sometimes luck is on your side. It's been on his side a lot.
I decided to rush two guys, so we had all day to do it. I actually threw it a little bit right of where I wanted it. I was trying to throw it between the hashes. The wind was, you know, a little swirly at night, but there was a lot of jostling, and then saw Allen come down with it. It's a pretty good feeling.
Pretty good feeling.
Yeah.
I would say so. Again, can the Jets find a way to get back in this thing? We're going to see. How much impact does Davante Adams have, Mike? Does he immediately come in? Is he a two-touchdown guy? The Jets, I think, play, is it Sunday night against the Steelers? I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he's a guy that, along with, you've seen what Lazard does, and they've got a communication that goes all the way back today with the Packers. Davante Adams was having an amazing career. Perhaps a Hall of Fame career before he got derailed on his way to Las Vegas, and maybe now that gets back on track. The question will be now, how does the new OC make it work? It's not that complicated. He gets open. He's really good. He runs great routes, and Aaron Rodgers knows. Again, they have like this let's be honest. They have this nonverbal thing. He can be at the line, check to him,
sure,
and there's going to be a touchdown. So quickly, the byproduct of this is now the Jets are shopping Mike Williams, reports coming out today, wide receiver.
Interesting. It's Dukes and Bell. This is our NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Hassan Reddick is still a Jet. Drew Rosenhaus saying that he's going to try to work with the Jets to get that contract extension, or at least find some kind of option before they explore a trade. They got until November 5th. That's the NFL trade deadline. I know you and I have spent a lot of time talking about, man, I'd love, imagine getting two disgruntled employees here for the price of one.
It'd be great.
Hassan Reddick with Matthew Judon. But what would you be willing to give up? You give up a second rounder?
Well, again,
you got to turn around and give him a deal.
Yes. You just traded, and I'm saying you, as in the Jets just basically gave away a second, okay? It's all going to be dependent on playing time, et cetera. This is how these deals are done. But it's originally a third, but it's going to depend on, you know, some statistical stuff. It's going to turn into a second. Are you willing to give up a second for a potential pass rusher?
Knowing that, let's be the most impactful second rounder we've had would be what, our left tackle. We don't really do well in the second round. I mean, as like, I don't know what it is. We've had a hard time getting some left tackle, or I should say second round picks, to really be solid. He's a proven commodity.
He is.
It just, I think people are forgetting how good he is because he's been on ice all season.
Yeah, I agree. And was not happy with the Eagles and now certainly hasn't been happy with the Jets. Hey, can I hear Kevin Stefanski talk about, are the owners forcing him to play Deshaun Watson? As we go around the National Football League, this was Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, answering that question.
Well, as you know, I don't get caught up in narratives, but we have a good dialogue with myself, Andrew, ownership, about all things that have to do with this team. They've been nothing but supportive, and any decision when it comes to football is my decision.
Okay. Mike, he mentions the GM there and Andrew. Mm. They both got extensions this last summer. So the head coach and the GM, they believe in them because they went to the playoffs last year without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, man.
I don't know what they're going to do.
With Flacco, I mean, as you said, they've already started to make some pieces. Amari Cooper gets traded. So they're already. Is it a fire sale? Is it a liquidation? Real quick, second-round pick since 2020, Marlon Davidson, Richie Grant, Arnold Ebiketie, Matthew Bergeron, and now Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro. So it's been a mixed bag at best as far as would I be willing to sacrifice a second for Hassan Reddick.
Can't judge Rook yet, rookie year, but those others, you're right.
And we said it earlier for guys who missed it, Super Bowl 62 will be here in Atlanta. That will be the 27-28 season. I said 10 years early, it would be our second in 9 years, Carl, and our fourth Super Bowl here in Atlanta.
I love it, man. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham. We'll get his thoughts on the Falcons. Three in a row. We'll talk about some other things that are going on as well around the National Football League. Stay right there.
In motion, here's Algier, straight ahead, touchdown Atlanta. Tyler Algier just banging away at the north end zone.
He did a lot of banging away all game long. That is the voice of our play-by-play guy. His name is Wes Durham. You know Wes. One of the best in the business, and he joins us right now here on Dukes and Bell as we talk to him on a weekly basis. Falcons have won three in a row. Wes, it feels good. It felt even better for me to see this run game get so established the way it did against Carolina.
No, I agree with you, Carl, totally. And even with the run total where it was, Atlanta – still finds itself 21st in the league in rushing yards per game. So maybe they can order up some of the same for Seattle on Sunday, because the Seahawks are near the bottom of the NFL. They're in the bottom five in terms of rush defense. So maybe that's a way to neutralize, an offense that's averaging 25 points a game and certainly has a mobile quarterback. Geno Smith's one of those guys that, you know, puts a little bit of fear in you because of his ability to become an extra guy on the field to pick up yardage with his feet, for sure.
Well, that's a Wes Drewham factoid right there. Let's go run the ball right down those Seahawks' throats. The defense, I mean, Wes, I know you and Arch had the call, and I know Arch was probably like, argh! It was this close to getting Andy Dalton on the ground. I hated that touchdown before the half, but obviously the depth and the performance showed through in four quarters. But what do we got to do to dial up that pass rush?
It's a good question, Mike, and it seems to be one that, just like we talk about in August, sometimes you hope it's going to change, and here through the first six, it hasn't as much as we'd hoped for sure. They came close the other day. The thing I take away from it is the turnovers, though. I mean, A.J. Terrell hopping off that, 35-game bump that he had been on, that kind of deal, just to get that done felt like a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you. Sure, you'd like to see the pressure from Judon. I thought James Smith Williams was close one time. Lorenzo Carter had him. I mean, that was just crazy the way that worked out. And then, I thought, and we talked about it in the first half on the air, I thought Grady Jarrett was pretty infused on Sunday too, to be a factor. And look, sometimes it's not getting the quarterback on the ground as much as it is Chuba Hubbard on the ground or somebody like that. That may be the case on Sunday too with Kenneth Walker. I mean, a guy who, you know, despite his team's subpar numbers, Kenneth Walker's still a threat to, you know, to put a number up on you. And you don't want that to happen on Sunday. You don't. That's the other thing you have to be cognizant of. It's still very much for Atlanta a two-way deal, and I thought Sunday was the best we'd seen from both sides.
How good did it feel to see A.J. Terrell get his first pick? And then we see Clark Phillips. I'm like, you know, when I see Clark this week, I'm going to be like, come on, man. I mean, like, you could have taken it to the house. I don't think anybody would have been upset, but I get it. And to hear, you know, A.J. Terrell after the game talk about he's been waiting a long time. Mike said it was, what, 3 years since his last?
It had been 35 games, Carl. It had been since January 2nd of 2022. In Buffalo, in the snow, that A.J. Terrell had his last interception. And I can tell you how I remember it. I didn't do the game. I was COVID. And Mike did the game for me. And so I remember A.J. Terrell, that was his last interception 35 games ago. So the idea that, now granted, he's had a half dozen, maybe even as many as 10 shots at another one, including one or two this year. So, you know, the kind of thing I always keep in the back of my mind, I grew up, when I was a kid, there was a cornerback that played at North Carolina named Ricky Barden. And Ricky didn't play very long in the NFL. I don't even think he got more than a cup of coffee in the camp or something. But Ricky was the first guy I ever heard say, if you give me one, I can get you four, you know?
And right.
I'm kind of hoping A.J. Terrell can be the guy that can get Atlanta about four of these in a hurry. You know, we've been so reliant on Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. I'd like to see Terrell get one. I'm glad to see Clark Phillips get one. Shoot, I don't care. We can sell one to Mike in the upper deck. I don't care. Everybody can buy one for all I care.
Right on. It is a West Durham today as we get ready for Seahawks coming up on Sunday right here on 92.9 The Game. Yeah, the game, we were looking last week, West, for the most complete game, and I think other than maybe the first quarter, it certainly felt great. We talked about some of those defensive lapses where just simply, you know, couldn't get the guy on the ground. Is the number one area of concern for you? What would it be?
Against Seattle, look, they're not terrible on third down. On first down, rather, they're a pretty good first down team. I look and see that they've had, you know, they're minus six takeaway giveaway.
I look at it and say to yourself, okay, if you can get off to a good start, they've come all the way across the country. You could kind of impose your will on them a little bit, right? And that's kind of the way I look at this, to be honest. And I think that's got a possibility to be the case, but you have to do that from the jump against teams that come cross country, right? And it goes the other way too. I mean, we went to Oakland 1 year and Jamarcus Russell, I mean, Carl throws it for more yards than Jamarcus Russell did in the first half. And, you know, Atlanta imposed their will. I think that's got to be the case Sunday.
By the way, that's the game Arthur Blank was walking on the field. We were out there for that game. Remember, in the black hole, so intimidating. Next thing you know, they're all taking pictures with Arthur Blank, all the guys with the skulls and the spiked shoulder pads.
The violator had his picture made with AB. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Well, listen, everybody wants to rub elbows with the rich and famous. It is West
Durham. Super Bowl host, Carl.
Yes,
Super
correct.
Bowl host.
Well,
that's who we're rubbing elbows with.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because it's official. We had gotten word a few weeks ago, but if you're just tuning in, Atlanta will host the Super Bowl in 2028. So since Mercedes-Benz has been built, this will be its second. But we feel like we should be in this mix, in this rotation more frequently, but it's still a big deal. So think about this, guys. We get the World Cup, right? And then 2 years later, we get the Super Bowl here. We just continue to be that international city, and I think it's great for the NFL.
No question whatsoever, and I think it's a hat tip not only to obviously Mr. Blank and everybody involved with AMB Sports Entertainment, that entire corporate side, certainly Rich and Greg Beatles and everybody with the Falcons organization, the folks at the stadium themselves, but also to Dan Corso and the Atlanta Sports Council and the people at the Chamber of Commerce who make this thing go, right? Because that's a big part of this. I mean, to bring worldwide events here, and no matter what you think, the Super Bowl is a worldwide event. I think it's imperative Atlanta stay in that rotation, and good for the Falcons and great for the city. And it's another, you know, check on the box in terms of what do you have that others don't. And Atlanta built this stadium to do Super Bowls. As you guys know, we already had one, and now we got another one coming, and it's awesome. That is really terrific for sure.
And you know, Wes, it's kind of funny. We see the cranes and we see the buildings going up. By that time, you'll have the World Cup and the Super Bowl, and we will have, you know, Centennial Yards will be all filled up. And it'll be a destination. Which brings me to, what do you make as a former voice of the Jackets, Tech moving to at least one game, one off, 2025, taking on the Dogs, and a $10 million payout, which helps fill the coffers and get more studs in there for Brent Key?
Well, yeah, in some relation, you're right. I'm not surprised. I think the stadium construction in Atlanta, in particular at Bobby Dodd, would make next year the attendance number, I think, a little smaller than even it would be this year, right?
Right.
Because the construction for the new Fanning Center that's going in, as well as some of the things they're doing amenities-wise for the stadium. So I get the parallel here. I also think, if I'm guessing with Jay, there's part of a bigger plan here. The $10 million that was announced today in the release certainly is a nice figure for Georgia Tech to stay kind of in the front of what they're trying to get done as an athletic department and that kind of thing. So I understand that. And you know, look, I think Georgia Tech is a competitive football team. It's a game that they, as I understand it, not putting in the season ticket package, right? It's a game that's coming outside of that. So if it's not in the package or if it is in the package, then, you know, Tech fans that want to be a part of it certainly can have the chance. Be honest with you, too, it's a big ticket, and it needs to see how big a ticket it can be in a neutral site. And I know Mercedes-Benz is certainly comfortable for Georgia, could be comfortable for a couple times, three more times this year if they're right. You know, but at the same time, too, I think Georgia Tech sometimes looks at it from a financial situation and what they need to do to take care of some of their future endeavors as well. And this might be one of them to get $10 million back.
Real quick, let's get your thoughts on these trades. NFL's turning into the NBA, which is great. I mean, we don't see a lot of this.
Yeah.
It's certainly picked up. Amari Cooper traded today, guys, to the Bills from the Browns.
Right.
And then we saw the trade with Davante Adams, which had, you know, been talked about the last few weeks.
No surprise there.
What do you think, though? I mean, as far as the league, right, this action keeps people interested, but do these moves help those teams?
Well, Davante Adams helps Aaron Rodgers, so that gives the Jets a shot, right? You know, Amari Cooper in Buffalo, absolutely. I think they've been looking for, and last night you kind of saw it a couple times, where they're looking for a guy who's a number one to take Stephon Diggs' replacement, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. They're kind of hunting that area. The Jaguars, I mean, we're going to see the impact of one trade on Sunday. Roy Robertson-Harris got traded from Jacksonville to Seattle today.
Huh.
I mean, he's an outside defensive end who will probably play a backup role, but you know, if Seattle is who they are defensively, allowing, you know, 145 yards a game on the ground, they need somebody who's a bit of a plugger on the ground, and Robertson-Harris kind of played that role in Jacksonville.
Right.
And maybe they need another guy to get after the passer. I don't know that Atlanta, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised. I'd like to know what Detroit's thinking with Aiden Hutchinson, to be honest with you, Carl.
Mm.
You know, I mean, he's down for the year. Is there somebody available? You know, I heard the Hassan Reddick rhetoric this morning, pardon the pun there.
good alliteration.
But I think there's got to be, you know, there's got to be, if you're a team and you think you've got a chance and you've got the window financially to make the move, and that's the thing I've always liked about, you know, Terry is pretty upfront, you know, when he says, hey, look, we're going to do our due diligence, but we're also going to be accountable to where we are. You know, the Judon Justin Simmons thing was exactly what Atlanta needed. Now, is there one more thing that you can do within reason to you know, throw another scoop of ice cream on there? Maybe so, but I don't know. We'll see. But I don't see Atlanta making any moves, but I'm like you. I'm kind of intrigued by the bevy of the trades and maybe how they spin out here late.
Man, I'd love to see an upgrade at the Edge. Hey, before we cut you loose, since we won't hear you until on Sunday, biggest game of the weekend, college football, obviously, in Austin. What do you think is going to happen with the Dogs and Texas?
Well, I think I heard Seth Emerson or with you guys earlier say that, you know, nobody wants to get to two because you just don't know, right? I mean, I think in Georgia's case, they've got a pretty good win, obviously, over Clemson that keeps getting better. And look, there's a lot of things that could go on in the ACC, but Clemson and Miami are heavy favorites to get to Charlotte since they don't play in the regular season to meet for the ACC title. But there are three other teams that could have a say-so on the other side of that equation. Texas is really good. Holy cow. I mean, the way they fell behind 3-0 and scored, what, 34 in a row on Oklahoma? I mean, they do it on both sides of the ball. Ewers came back and maybe wasn't an A-plus sharp, but he's still really good. They run the ball well. I've been really impressed with who they are on defense. And Sark's done a nice job. Let's give him a round of applause for going down there, taking advantage of the landscape, building it. Look, he worked at Alabama. Kirby worked at Alabama. They know the blueprint for success, guys. Yep. I mean, it's not real complicated, right? And they went down there and they stayed with Saban for a year or two, in the case of Steve, and a little bit longer for Kirby at a lot of different venues with Nick. And they know how to do it. And the recruiting prowess, and Texas wants to be good, Carl. You know that more than I do. I mean, they won't back in this conversation, and they have a real chance to do it on Saturday night in front of the country, I think.
Yeah, getting into the SEC, and I said this when Greg Sankey, you know, made this announcement, you don't turn the phone call down when Texas and Oklahoma come because of the brands. But it was also Texas realizing that, hey, if we're moving towards the future, this is where we want to be, and I think this is a big spot for them. For years, and I'm telling you, people said, oh,
no, it's years.
You guys can't play in the SEC. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we come. So I think it's a big spot.
I do agree with that totally. And here's the other thing, too. The 2 years before they came into the SEC, they locked down on what it was going to take to compete in the SEC.
Agreed.
And let's just say this. All those elements that had changed in the last 3 to 4 years, NIL, portal, all those things, worked to Texas's advantage. Because it was they were taking advantage of what was already a strength of Texas, Carl, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Right?
Right.
I mean, and DKR is going to be up for flipping grabs Saturday night. Yeah. I mean, that place is already 100K seats, isn't it, Carl?
It is. 110.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Then you got F1 the next day, Mike. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, man. Well, not spending $10,000 on football and Formula One tickets, I can tell you that. And hotel.
Oh, that, Carl, that sounds like Becky put her foot down. That's exactly what happened there.
You ain't lying.
Hey, you man. Ain't lying. Hey, it happens. It happens. Wes, man, have a great call. Let's get another one.
Yeah.
Mike, that's why you're labor and she's management, son.
She is the brains of the operation. She is the minister of finance.
Let's get another one against Seattle. That is Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Appreciate you, brother, as always.
All right, man. Take care, fellas. See you soon.
Good stuff. Lots of football conversation, guys, and we'll continue it. But when we come back, Yeah Man, No Man is coming up on Dukes and Bell. We are going to talk more about the Dogs and Texas. Also, Alabama's got to clean some stuff up if they're going to be a playoff team. We'll get to all of that coming up in less than 15 minutes from now. But right now, Turtle with Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on, Turtle?
Well, I would say this, ladies and gentlemen. Do not do to Arthur Blank what was done to Jerry Jones on our sister station in Dallas this morning. And they didn't actually do anything wrong. It was more the tone of the question. So I'll set this up for you real quick and play the audio that has went viral. This morning, Jerry Jones made one of his 12 weekly appearances on the station. He certainly loves to talk. He was on with the morning show, Sean and RJ. And they were basically relitigating decisions that he had made in the past. And Jerry did not take too kindly to those things.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out if what the team is doing right or wrong.
Man, it's getting ugly. And, you know, you and I have talked about it. He had his 82nd birthday on Sunday. And you see that the video of him and his cadre of assistants and his son walking into the locker room after an absolute beatdown. Carl, where is this going?
Jerry should be ashamed of himself, first and foremost. And RJ and those guys, I know those guys well. They've done that with him for a long time. And this is just Jerry being pissed off.
Right.
Taking it out on them. And threatening them, Mike, with their jobs.
Like, you know, or I'll move to another show, or to your point, yeah, I'll get you guys canned, which is the way I read it and listened to it. And you said it. We've heard Jerry bloviate on their show for years. They give him a platform, and Jerry just goes off on these tangents, and now they're asking some tough questions because your team is in free fall.
Well, when they've been 12-win teams over the last 3 years, and I'm telling you this firsthand, Jerry would come on there and he'd be all happy. Now it's all bad, and you've been humiliated in your home stadium, and now you want to take it out on these guys. Completely misguided. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the other thing, Mike. This is bullying at its best. When you start talking about guys asking you questions, now you don't like the line of questioning, and therefore, you know, I'll get you guys replaced. I wish somebody would. Like, seriously, that is completely uncalled for. And on top of that, Mike, America now knows. Right. Let me tell you something. If something happens to RJ and those guys, somebody's cutting a big check. Because you just basically said you're going to run these guys off for asking you legitimate questions. There's no place for it. And if Jerry didn't want to answer the question, Mike, all he had to do was say, guys, I really don't have an answer for that. But he's so in his bag about him not doing anything with the Cowboys this year. Here he is taking it out on these guys. And I just didn't like it at all.
I mean, he's made no sense. How many sound bites have we played, whether Chris or you and I have played over the course of the NFL blitzes this year, where he's just talking in circles? Doesn't have any answers. I mean, imagine, you talk about it.
Stop coming on these shows if you don't want to answer these questions.
Don't do it. Stop doing interviews if you don't want to get crushed because think about that. Nobody is worth more money than the Cowboys. All those resources, the star facility in Frisco, the stadium you and I have both been to, it's just unbelievable. And yet your team hasn't won jack since Clinton was in the White House. It's mind-boggling. And all that money, to me, I think he's got to break the glass in an emergency and go get Belichick in here next year. Because you've got enough pieces. There's enough skill position. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Micah Parsons. But you've got to – the nucleus is there. Am I missing something?
No.
Or is Dak just a choker and that's his legacy?
Mike, here's the thing. Okay, and this is an analysis of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. When Zeke was good and they had a legitimate run game and the O-line wasn't old and broken down, Dak looked like $1 million. Now you're forcing Dak. Guys, he would have thrown the ball 58 or 60 times in that game if it wasn't a blowout, but they pulled him, so he didn't. And you're relying solely on that, Mike. And guess what? The only two guys he can throw to is CeeDee Lamb and his tight end. Right. They're limited offensively, and they have no run game. So that's on Jerry because he brought Zeke back because it felt good, yet he's not a good player anymore, and he can't produce. Pollard left, right? Defensively, your two best defensive players have been hurt, but regardless of that, they can't stop a nosebleed right now. And so I think there's fundamental issues. It seems like they have good pieces, But overall, the team is not as good as it was.
Right.
They're not even going to sniff 12 wins like they've done in the last 3 years.
We always talk about windows, Chris. That's Jerry almost like, yeah, you're missing your window. Shut.
Yeah, the door seemingly has closed for now on the Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb era. All right, it's about
And by the way, let me say this.
Yeah.
Arthur Blank would never do that.
Nope. Not in a million years.
He would never do that. I'm just telling you guys. And in our private moments, Arthur Blank has said, appreciate you being critical of this team and telling the people what they need to hear. I'm telling you firsthand, never do that.
We asked him one time, we said, are you a meddler? He goes, I'm not a meddler, but we asked the question and he respectfully answered the question. But I mean, yeah, Jerry's losing his mind.
Yeah. All right. Let's give some recognition to a guy who certainly deserves it. One of my favorite segments on TV, probably your guys too, is Angry Runs on Good Morning Football. And Kyle Brandt does an amazing job, and he's made a whole media circus.
They got shirts.
Out of
he's
it.
Got a specter that he holds when he does
it. Yeah. So he decided that it was finally time to give somebody some love.
And another guy who keeps showing up, just kind of dabbling, getting involved, hasn't won it yet. Atlanta Falcon Tyler Allgeier. I love this dude. Nobody can spell his last name, Mr. Autocorrect, and nobody can tackle him. Watch what he does. Boom! He's not even getting started yet. Boom! He's still not getting started. Now we go. Now we go. Allgeier looks like all stat.
Ooh, good call.
Getting some love on Good Morning Football.
I loved Mike Allstott back in the day. I mean, like he was that dude. I love that man. Remember when the season started and I said, if you go around the country and you stopped anybody, pick a city, Cincinnati, doesn't matter, L.A., you said, hey, give me two Falcons, give me three Falcons outside the quarterback. People would struggle. We need this recognition. It's great, Turtle. I love it.
I think it's something that people are going to be paying more attention to because I don't know if you guys are realizing this. When we look at the numbers, he's averaging like 6 yards a carry.
I know.
It's pretty unbelievable.
And Zach, as we said, can't wait to be up in Falcons. Carl and I will be talking to Coach Rod. Do we have any idea who the player guest is yet? We'll find out.
Not yet.
But we love what Zach is doing now, and Zach's getting into a rhythm. And as we said, just trying to find that balance, Carl, with two perfect tools for the job, right, with him and Bijan.
I love it, man. I mean, listen, if I am the Falcons this week, Mike, I'm coming out and trying to do this in Seattle, too. Force them to stop it.
And Wes Drew Ham just told us Seattle has a hard time stopping the run.
Make them do it.
All right, we got to run. Let's get out of here. Turtle, hit Chris's music.
Every time I – did he just talk in third person? Time I hear that, Jerry, and I've heard it 3 times a day. Mike, I don't know. Maybe it's because we sit in these seats. I don't know why I get so upset. I'm like, really, bro?
I mean, and you could tell because, you know, you've heard him. We played the soundbites from that same show. And now it's hitting home. Jerry's being a jerk, and gosh, man, you're for Cowboys fan. You can't. We always say, Carl, he gives you everything but the goods. Well, you got the salad dressing, you got the appetizer, you got great steak knives, you got no friggin' steak.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.